Celtic.
The Celtic supporters are truly starting to believe.
A 56th title is in their own hands.
Shanklin unmarked, bearing it first time with his weak foot. Clinical.
Hearts could end 40 years of heart.
The end is in sight. They can feel it in this place.
Celtic at Motherwell.
Dyson Maeda's second half double, sending Celtic 1 point behind Hearts.
Hearts facing Falkirk.
Has Sandcastle ever been this noisy?
One thing we know. This is the place for it all.
These Celtic players must have real belief that they could go on and win this title now.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a night where the Premiership title could be decided. A win for Hearts against Falkirk and defeat for Celtic at Fir Park would see the title go to Tynecastle, but any other set of results and it goes down to one of the most dramatic final days in Scottish football history. Rangers are also at home to Hibs in James Tavernier's final Ibrox bow, and St Mirren are guaranteed to face a relegation playoff despite beating Aberdeen last night. I'm Andrew McLean, and joining me in the studio all the way through until 11 o'clock tonight are Alex Ray, Tony Watt and Hugh Keevans.
Andrew, I'm going to put this night into context for you. The last time Hearts won the league title, I was at primary school. Absolutely true. I was 10 years old, primary school boy in Partick. Harold Macmillan was the Prime Minister. A Glaswegian called Lonnie Donegan was top of the charts, singing My Old Man's a Dustman. That's how long ago it was.
Didn't realise you'd brought props and audio with you for your monologue.
Yes, I don't travel alone. Came from Bridgeton, Lonnie Donegan. But anyway, the penultimate round of fixtures, the ultimate drama. Celtic win two games, they're champions. Celtic lose tonight, Hearts are champions. Bring it on.
Whatever happens tonight, yeah, as Hugh says, it is going to be a monumental night. It has been the craziest of crazy seasons. There has been storyline after storyline every single week. And tonight is another one. It could be Hearts' title by the end of the night, or we're going to see that it will be one of the biggest games in Scottish football history on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think most people will be tuning in tonight looking to see what way this unfolds. You look at over the course of the weeks leading up to this, we've all seen it's going to the last game of the season. But you're absolutely right, Hugh. The Hearts could win this tonight if the result goes away at Motherwell. But there's so much can happen in between then.
And the brilliant thing is, Tony, we can sit here, we can watch, we can talk along, we can just see it all unfold in front of our eyes.
Yeah, the exciting thing is it's been going on for... We knew that would come down to the last couple of weeks, a couple of months ago, and it's been... It's not failed one bit. It's now a two-horse race, and it's between Celtic and Hearts. I don't see Hearts winning it tonight, but I would love it to go to the final day and may the best man win.
Yeah, that would be the dream scenario. I think I go back to 1979, Celtic played Rangers at Celtic Park, last game of the season for Celtic. They won the title that night. I go back to 1991, Rangers played Aberdeen at Ibrox. Aberdeen were top when they arrived at Ibrox, final day of the season. Rangers won. Now we have the possibility of the equivalent of the heavyweight championship of the world on Saturday at Celtic Park. But my major reservation, I don't know how Celtic beat Motherwell at Fir Park.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one.
I think Hearts will take care of Falkirk, and if it is about goal difference, I think Hearts could get a few goals tonight. Falkirk are not at their strongest and have recently taken to losing lots of goals, 6 against Rangers, 3 against Hibs. The big problem for Celtic, Jens Bertel Askew, Tamanda Masuanisi, all of the players that we know about. There's maybe a problem in central defence for Motherwell, caused by Stephen Welsh being ineligible. caused by Paul McGinn being injured, but I'm trying to visualise in my mind how this very, very good Motherwell side lose to Celtic at Fir Park, and I'm not seeing it.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. We want all the usual pre-match build-up from you on the phones, but there's just a bit more added to it tonight. So how are you feeling? Are you confident? Are you nervous? Who should start? Who shouldn't start? Will the title be decided tonight, or is it going to go down to the final day? 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. Answer those questions ahead of kickoff in the three big games tonight. And to give you a bit of a taster, why don't we go around the grounds? First of all, Hearts against Falkirk at Tynecastle for us is Gabriel Antoniazzi.
Andrew, this could be the day that Hearts fans have been dreaming of for their entire lives. The trophy will be here in Gorgie, and Lawrence Shanklin might be lifting it in under 4 hours' time. That's if things go to plan. As we know, a victory for the Jambos and defeat for Celtic at Fir Park will secure the most unlikely of league wins, the title of all titles for people around these parts. Champions of Scotland for the first time in 66 years. As Hugh said, he was just a schoolboy. It doesn't have to be won tonight, of course, Andrew, but the final game of the season at Parkhead does look menacing, and what it would mean to these supporters to see their players lift the trophy here in front of them. But it won't be easy. Injuries have rocked the camp after Saturday night's draw against Motherwell. Both Craig Halkett and Mark Leonard have torn Achilles. A double horror blow to McInnes's men, as both have been in such great form recently. So it is a big blow on the pitch. They have to be replaced. And how will it affect the shape of the team? But it also could have a psychological impact as well, Andrew. McInnes's men have been so resolute all season. They've been imperious here at home. They're unbeaten in the league. The only team to escape here with a win was Falkirk on penalties in the Scottish Cup back in January. John McGlynn will not want his side to go out of with a whimper this campaign. Almost certainly going to finish sixth, which is a brilliant achievement in itself, of course, considering it's their return to the top flight. McGlynn is a former manager here. There's a few ex-Hart players in the squad as well. It's just such an interesting dynamic, as it has been all of this split and all of this season, really. You'd expect the Bairns to come and play the way they usually do, but they do have quite a few injury concerns as well. And, of course, it will be some atmosphere come kickoff at 8 p.m. with the rain hammering down here in the capital right now. Expect it all, Andrew. The noise, the displays, the pyro, the twirly, Colin Chisholm, everything. It doesn't get any bigger than this, and I'll bring you team news when it comes at 6:45.
Hugh mentioned that the dream scenario, I think, for a lot of neutrals is that it goes down to that final day shootout, Alex. But yep, the dream scenario for Hearts fans is winning the title at Tynecastle in front of their own fans tonight and being presented the trophy. But it's not in their own hands tonight. Yes, they need to win their game, but that's all they can think about. They can't think about what's going on at Fir Park. They just need to go out and win the game tonight, don't they?
I'm sure that'll be Derek McInnes's message, is get the 3 points, try and rack up, as Hugh said, a couple of goals, and then go to the game at the weekend if it goes that far. But I disagree with you. I think you look at Celtic, you know, their form recently, they've shown real character. They're starting to hit in their stride. They've got some key players. Engels back, Johnson at fullback. They just seem to be getting their mojo. Maeda's, what is it, 6 goals in 4 games. So they're really starting to kind of get into a rhythm. And I think they'll go there tonight thinking, right, okay. And, you know, momentum's a big thing in football, and these guys have been over the course and distance. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy game, because Motherwell, as you've seen at the weekend, I just think, you know, I just think with the two boys that send that half, that may be a real boost for Celtic, you know, but Welsh and McGinn being injured.
Well, what about the picture at Fir Park, Motherwell against Celtic? Alison McConnell watching on for us. Have we got you, Alison?
Hello. Hi. Just hello.
There we go. Got you.
Got you. A bit of pre-match nerves perhaps in the press box there. But yeah, this evening's games, I think, might want to come with a health warning for those of a green and white or maroon persuasion. Certainly here at Fir Park, Apple Watches and Fitbits will show alarmingly high.
I'll tell you what, we'll go back to Alison, shall we? Because she was sounding a bit quiet there. Yeah. I think there was maybe some technical issues, but we will go back there very, very shortly. You know, as Gabriel mentioned in his pre-match, Fir Park is a tough place to go as well. Tynecastle has been a tough place to go. Fir Park has been a tough place to go. We've seen that Falkirk are the only team that have won in the league at Fir Park this season. But, you know, Celtic will go full of confidence. If you're going into a big game like this that you need to win tonight, there's probably not many results that you want more than an Old Firm win on Sunday in the style that Celtic did it as well.
Yeah, I don't think Motherwell are at their peak at the moment either. I think Celtic are probably about to reach their peak in terms of their performances and the results. They beat St Mirren in the Cup and then they've won the three games after the split. Motherwell have, I think they've got a bit indifferent form, if that's fair to say. Yeah, they've got one win in eight in all competitions.
But then you look at their post-split results and beating Rangers, drawing with Hearts.
They're still a great team, but the point I'm trying to make is if this was a month ago, I would have put Motherwell heavily as the favourites. Now, I would say slightly Celtic are the favourites, even though it's away from home. I just think if Celtic can't motivate themselves for tonight, it's basically a cup final.
When Dyson made a scored the overhead goal on Sunday against Rangers, it lifted the mood around Celtic. The players, the fans, Martin O'Neill, it lifted it to a stellar height. And that's the kind of optimism they take with them to Fir Park. Martin has set the scene perfectly by saying, being the manager who lost there on Helicopter Sunday, he said if he loses there tonight, he's never going back. And you can understand that the man's been living with hurt for 21 years. Hearts have been living with hurt for 40 years because of a big player called Albert Kidd and because of a day when Celtic won 5-0 in Paisley and took the title from Hearts' grasp. The history, the subplots surrounding the two games tonight are incredible.
Right, we'll go to the phones in a second, but let's go back to Alison at Fir Park. I think we've sorted our technical issues.
Good evening, everyone. Well, this evening's games might want to come with a health warning for those of a green and white or maroon persuasion. Certainly, here at Fir Park, Apple Watches and Fitbits will show alarmingly high heart rates as Celtic prepare for a season-defining 90 minutes. As you've already touched on in the studio, the permutations of this game, coupled with what happens at Tynecastle, are vast. The remit for Celtic, though, is clear. A win or a draw keeps it in their own hands and tees up a dramatic last-day shootout for the title against Hearts at Celtic Park on Saturday. Martin O'Neill's side came into tonight's game against Motherwell, having dispatched Rangers on Sunday with a Dyson Maeda goal that will take its place in the folklore of the club. Just exactly how that goal is framed and its significance depends on what comes next. Jens Bertolaskus' side held Hearts to a draw here on Saturday night, and they have done more than just win plaudits for their style of football this term. A win tonight would guarantee them the reward of fourth spot ahead of their final day trip to Easter Road this weekend. They've also beaten Celtic here already this season at the end of December, just days before the departure of Wilfred Nancy. The signs would suggest that O'Neill's team have timed their run to find a bit of form, get into the business end of the season. They've won their last six successive games, including that extra time Scottish Cup win, a sequence of results that is their best across the entirety of the campaign. Whether they've hit form at the right time or whether it's a case of too little too late, only time will tell. Certainly, the return of Arne Engels and Alistair Johnson has made a difference, while Maeda has found his shooting boots for the grand finale. He's got six goals from his last four games. They'll look to harness all of that tonight as they come up against a Motherwell side desperate to round off their last game of an impressive season at Fir Park on a high. One of Martin O'Neill's darkest days as Celtic manager, first time around, came here more than two decades ago when the title was snatched from his hands in dramatic fashion. Tonight, then, offers something of a chance for redemption.
Yeah, we will go back to Tynecastle and Fir Park to get the team news from there when it arrives. We'll go to Ibrox shortly as well to get the picture with Kerry Pollock. But let's go to the phones, 01419511025. Howard is a Celtic fan in the Gorbals. Howard, how are you feeling? Are you feeling confident? Are you feeling nervous? A mix of both?
Confident, and I'll tell you why. Like you, going back to Tannadice, I thought it was finished. I thought it was over. But what Celtic have, and I feel like Rangers showed they don't have, is they've got Bottle. And to have that, you know, yeah, you can be playing well, but to me, it's the gold dust of Martin O'Neill. Look at Maeda. All of a sudden, scoring goals, Engels back in the team, Johnson. But at the top, Martin O'Neill, is there something that's always been about him that can bring that extra 10%? And I disagree with you. I think Celtic will win by two goals tonight.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion, Howard, of course. And where we do agree is on the subject of Martin O'Neill. The Celtic fans may have a difficult relationship with the principal shareholder, Dermot Desmond, but it was Dermot Desmond who got rid of Brendan Rodgers and knew that he was going to bring in Martin O'Neill. The huge, monumental mistake that Celtic made was hiring Wilfred Nancy before they brought Martin O'Neill back. Had they not hired Wilfred Nancy, we wouldn't be having this programme because Celtic would be the champions and a while ago. So Martin O'Neill has united a club full of discord between supporters and the hierarchy, and he has galvanised a football team who, don't forget, Howard, lost 8 league games this season so far. 8. And yet they are 2 games away from being the champions. It's Martin O'Neill's story.
What can Martin O'Neill's experience, especially in winning league titles and just generally winning, what can that do in this final week of the season for Celtic and the players?
Yeah, I think it's been there for a while now. I think even when you go back to the times where they were scratching late goals and things, I think that comes from the manager, that drive. I think one of the key things for Celtic as well is they've been really kind of strong coming off the bench. I think the players coming on have made real impacts. You know, guys like James Forrest, you look at Tonetke at the weekend, guys like that. So they I hear a lot about, you know, the squad and it's not good enough, but in the grand scale of things, you know, they've still got quality to come on and win games for them. So I also look at Sean Maloney, who's been over the course and distance as well, just in the background. I think he'll be really important as well. But then you look on the park, you've got Jamesy Forrest, you've got Callum McGregor, who have got medals coming out their ears because of that experience. So I think they've got it across the board, and I think they're very, very well placed. And as I said earlier on, when you're hitting form at the right time, this is a key time to do that.
Motherwell have been real tricky opponents for most people in the division this season, Howard, especially at Fir Park. But you're not seeing any issues tonight for Celtic, no?
Listen, it's going to be a really hard game. I mean, at the end of the day, I've been on before saying to me, the Motherwell manager should be the next Celtic manager. I've got 110% respect for the Motherwell manager. I just think tonight, I think we'll win, and I think we'll win well because of the Martin O'Neill factor. The fans are together. I was at Celtic Park at the weekend, and the atmosphere, God, what a change. I remember being at the semi-final of the League Cup, the final of the League Cup against St Mirren, and in all my years, I have never heard such a quiet Celtic crowd. But the weekend, the crowd's back, you know, they're right behind the team. The team all of a sudden have hit form, and that's why I think we will win by two goals tonight.
I heard Jens Bertolasco saying the other day when he was asked about Celtic, and you know, he talked about how they're in such good form at the moment. They've won 6 games in a row, which they haven't done previously this season. He said that they've got a lot of momentum, they're in a great place, but he also mentioned they've now got something to lose as well, which they maybe didn't have previously. Is that something that can weigh on players' minds? Is it something that can motivate them more?
Yeah, I was listening to Al speaking there, and he rhymed off McGregor and Forrest about, and Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney. But what you also need to add into it is Scales has been there and done that the last few years. Aster Johnson's a massive, massive boost coming back. He's been there and done that. And even boys like Maeda, they've went and won 2-3 titles. So I agree with Al. They've got something to lose, yes. But these guys know how to get it done. These guys know. Like, referencing the old game last night, when you go 1-0 down, you get a feeling. You score straight away after, and you know, that's not luck. We've done that all season, and Celtic have done it for years. It's, you've got something in you, and Celtic have that in them. Whether they've unlocked it enough this season is to be said, yes or no, but they have scored a lot of last-minute winners. Have they been great, fluid, and amazing football played? No, but they've definitely got something in them that takes them to the last minute, and I think, add that way, they're now starting to play better football. They're getting boys like Johnson back, completing the team and making them more of a full team. I think Celtic can go and play just as good football as Motherwell tonight.
Well, thank you to Howard. 01419511025. Keep those calls coming, and we'll go to Ibrox to get the latest from there next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a night we are in for in the Scottish Premiership. Hearts against Falkirk, Motherwell against Celtic, Rangers against Hibs. It's a night that the league title could be decided, or we're going to find out if it's going to go to that final day shootout. We have been to Tynecastle and Fir Park. We're going to go back to the phones in a second, but let's go to Ibrox, shall we? I think there's going to be a very different atmosphere at Ibrox from the other games. At Rangers against Hibs is Kerry Pollock.
Yes, guys, how are we? Good evening. I think you're right, Andrew. The stands haven't yet filled just yet, but it's a final game at Ibrox this season for Rangers and a final game at Ibrox for captain James Tavernier. The Ibrox skipper, I imagine, would have wanted his time here in Glasgow to end on a more positive note, but becoming the highest scoring defender in British history is nothing to look down his nose at. Don't get me wrong, he has taken his fair share of stick at his time here at Rangers, but with over 150 career goals, he's won every piece of silverware in Scotland. It's certainly something to be proud of. It will be a third place finish for Rangers this season. However, manager Danny Rule has been given the confidence from the Rangers board that he will be in the manager's seat next season. As for the visitors tonight, they come to Glasgow Hibernian with a lot to play for after that win over Falkirk last weekend. They are hot on the heels of Motherwell, just 4 points adrift of the Fir Park side, meaning a European spot is still very much up for grabs. I'll be back very soon with the team news.
Yeah, what did you make of that news yesterday, Danny Rule revealing he's got the full backing of the Rangers board?
Well, I've listened to the programme since the Old Firm game on Sunday, and I would say that 99% of the callers who support Rangers don't want Danny Rule. Andrew Kavanagh has clearly got a lot of faith in him. I don't think it's a faith that's shared by the supporters. I think the performance against the Celtic on Sunday was classic Danny Rule Rangers. They started well, they faded from view. And when push got to shove, they had nobody to shove. So he's a lucky man.
As Kerry was mentioning, it's a final game at Ibrox for Rangers for James Tavernier. It's not going to be the send-off he would have wanted. Announced that he was going to retire a few weeks ago. Rangers have lost three games since then. I can't imagine Ibrox is going to be anywhere near full tonight. There are a lot of angry Rangers fans. He's spent a lot of time at Rangers. He's won trophies, scored a lot of goals, but it's not going to be the end that he would have wanted.
I think it's obviously petered out, and obviously it was announced a couple of weeks ago that James would be leaving. Some people will think it's probably better if it happened a couple of years ago, but you know, you can't take away his service and his goal record. And I think, you know, it will be a disappointing crowd tonight, without doubt. Going on to Danny Rule, you know, getting the chairman's backing. I'm slightly different in terms of, can you keep changing managers every 6 months? You know, I think they have to at least give him another window. And the reason being is, it was interesting listening to him yesterday, because I think he was a bit more forthright in the respect that he knows he's already kind of identified what he's looking for. He's already spoke about, I need more character, I need more personality in the dressing room. So that suggests that they've not got that at the moment. And that would back up Hugh's reckoning in this title run, and they've not got the leaders that he would like, or the profile of players. Now, he's only been in the door 6 months. It was 6 weeks before his first window, 6-7 weeks, whatever it was. So they've obviously identified a couple of positions that they're probably a bit light and needed support in. But the actual reality is, he will identify players that he thinks is going to make them better. He's obviously got this relationship, and he's sold that to the hierarchy and how he's going to improve that.
If it's true that managers' teams reflect the manager's personality, Rangers are currently reflecting the manager's personality. I think there's nothing about them. There's no inspirational figure. He admits himself there are no leaders, and I would hope that James Tavernier would get a dignified, respectful farewell to Ibrox tonight. He's only won 3 trophies. It's nowhere near good enough for a Rangers captain, but he has been a real earnest player for Rangers, and the fans who criticised him will miss him when he's not there.
0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Jamie, who's a Celtic fan in Alloa. Jamie, are Celtic going to win tonight and take it to the final day?
100% now, mate. 100%. So the question that I'm going to ask the panel is, obviously it's been mixed, there's been mixed reviews right through the season. If both Hearts and Celtic win the night, who are you predicting to win the league on Saturday?
If Celtic play Hearts, on Saturday with the championship at stake, Celtic will win the title.
You think so, yeah? Is it as simple as that?
I think the atmosphere at Celtic Park...
Does it depend on how...
Goal difference as well?
You know, it depends on tonight's results as well,
yeah,
because...
If Celtic win tonight and Hearts win tonight, Celtic win on Saturday. I don't think Hearts can overcome a team and an atmosphere that will be out of this world. The atmosphere against Rangers was, by all accounts, exceptional. Well, you can multiply that by 10 times for Hearts on Saturday.
Yeah, Jamie, we saw what the atmosphere was like at the weekend against Rangers, the fact that Celtic are on that six-game winning streak. Do you just have a feeling that, you know, the occasion on Saturday, if it was to come down to that, that there'd be no stopping Celtic?
Yeah, I mean, I was at the Rangers game. I'm actually still trying to recover for it. But the atmosphere was absolutely brilliant. And just to go down a goal behind and come back in the manner that we did, then when you add on top of that, that in current form, Celtic are top of the form league since they split. So you've also got to take that into account. And although Motherwell are a good side, good footballing team, they've not been at their best recently. Not to say tonight's going to be easy, but you've got to look at Celtic just now are hitting form at the right time, and that's unstoppable right now.
I do wonder if it's Fir Park away at Motherwell, is that one of the fixtures that if Martin O'Neill was given a free choice of who he would want to play and where for a game to take it to the final date, would that be quite low down on the list of what Martin O'Neill would want? Is it one of the real trickier tests that Celtic could have had?
Yeah, based on this season, it's probably Fir Park, Ibrox and Tynecastle, the three places that Celtic wouldn't want to go in terms of how hard the matchups are, all for different reasons, obviously. But no, Motherwell are a fantastic side. They're a breath of fresh air for this league. I just feel like Celtic, if they do what they've done at the weekend, then they've got every chance of winning the game tonight. I think that Motherwell are going to be a really, really tricky opponent. I don't for 1 minute think it'll be easy for Celtic, but I think Celtic, with the quality that's came back, like we said, yeah, Maeda's on form, Engels looked back to the kind of player that Celtic hoped he would be, and then Alistair Johnson's a massive, massive difference maker there. Even though he's a right back, he seems to be everywhere up that right hand side. I think Celtic should overpower Motherwell tonight, and on the ball, off the ball, and I think that's what will get the job done.
How much of that confidence is coming from Daizen Maeda's current form, Jamie?
To be fair, I'm not going to say all of it, but you know what, and I hope a lot of Celtic fans do agree with me, the unity within the stadium, that's playing a massive part. Like, see against Rangers, honestly, the atmosphere, even before the game, it was absolutely brilliant. And that unity, that you can't just, I'm not just going to pinpoint one player. It's a combination of things. The manager, players in particular, just hitting form at the right time. The fans being back out in the stadium. Everything is just clicking when we need it to.
To isolate Maeda, he has a smile on his face. He has the imagination to try the overhead kick that ends up in one of the greatest Old Firm goals of all time. Something put the smile back in his face, or someone, because earlier on in the season we had countless callers who said, his head's elsewhere, he's disappointed because he didn't get his move to the Bundesliga, he wants out of the club. What will be when it comes to Maeda's future in the summertime. But right now, he's got a smile on his face, he's got ideas in his head, and he's unafraid to try things like the overhead kick.
Jamie mentioned that unity, and you see it in the squad, but especially so around the stadium. There's been so much disconnect between the Celtic fans, between the manager at the time when it was Wilfred Nancy, between the Celtic board especially. That all seems to have been parked. For now, the Green Brigade are back in. It seems as if there is this togetherness at the club, and I don't imagine it will continue, because I'm sure that it will flare up again between the supporters and the board, because that it's bound to happen. But at this period of time, everyone sort of being on the same page, what can that do for the next couple of games?
Well, I think it's massive. Obviously, years ago, I experienced it as a player. I came on in the Old Firm before Rangers went to League Two, and you can't hear yourself. The atmosphere's unbelievable. I've seen Rangers win in Europe, the atmosphere being massive, and the players can feed off that. At the weekend, when Celtic went one each, you could see the place lift, you could see the belief in them, you could see the backing they've got, and I was never ever one to choose a side between the fans and the board. I don't like some of the things that gets done on both sides, but I think if they can come to a common ground, both sides behave themselves, then I think that is massive for Celtic going forward. I think when you look at some of the results, especially under Nancy, and even after, the place was flat. There was people had lost interest in Celtic after winning, 14 out of 15 leagues, which is incredible because how successful they've been over the years. I think Celtic need every single seat in that stadium full, and I think this Saturday, if it comes to a straight shootout and Celtic win the league, it could be one of the best atmospheres you'll ever see at Celtic Park.
Well, thank you to Jamie. Let's speak to Christine, who is a Hearts fan. Christine, are you going along to Tynecastle tonight?
No, I wish I was. I wish I was going along, but I've got two young boys who are absolutely heart-staffed, and I couldn't go along without them, so I just had to stay at home and we'll sit and watch it on the TV.
There have been a couple of confident Celtic fans so far. Are you as confident in your own team? Is it the nerves that are taking over?
Nerves are taking over. This is everything tonight. I actually feel upset about it because it just means so much to a lot of Hearts fans. You know, it just would mean everything to win the league. I don't think Celtic would actually understand what it means to Hearts fans, but I just hope we don't give up and we just push on tonight. I know what's going to happen at Celtic Park. For Park tonight, we can't obviously control that, but we just need to control our own game and hopefully we can win. I can't see us getting a result against Celtic at Celtic Park, if I'm completely honest. So hopefully Motherwell can do us a turn tonight, like Rangers were supposed to do at the weekend, and they can grind out a result for us to help us win the league tonight. That'd be amazing at Tynecastle.
Why wouldn't you see Hearts getting a result at the weekend? Is it just the form that Celtic are in?
Yeah.
Do you feel it just needs to get done tonight?
Yeah, I want it done tonight. I want it done in front of the home fans. We really deserve it. I mean, I don't think any day in Scottish football can take away from Hearts what we've achieved this season. It's been absolutely amazing, and I just think that we need to do it at home tonight, because I just think that the nerves would just take over if we took it to Celtic Park on Saturday.
Tony mentioned what the atmosphere would be like at Celtic Park on Saturday. The atmosphere at Tynecastle tonight is going to be absolutely rocking. I think there are going to be a lot of nerves in there probably when the game kicks off, Alex, but pre-match, the build-up to it, you know, if Hearts make a quick start, there's going to be, you know, it's going to be so loud in there, and everyone talks about the fact that the fans are right on top of you at Tynecastle. It's going to be a special, special night, isn't it?
I think the fan base has been absolutely tremendous there. When you see the atmosphere, and is it Colin Chisholm?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, he'll be giving it plenty tonight, the wee man about the maroon suit.
Can we watch that?
Oh no, we'll be turning everything off. We'll listen to that tonight. Well, no, we've got to listen to the guys chanting. No. Christine will be settling down to a glass of wine just to settle the nerves and... But again, it'll be rocking. And I think if you go back a couple of weeks ago, they won scored in about the 70th minute and won a 1-0. But the anxiety within the stadium, so they'll be looking for an early goal tonight, settle people down, and then try and kind of rack up the goal difference.
I suppose that's the ideal scenario, Christine, is that Hearts take an early lead. It's maybe not been as simple as that in recent weeks, but ultimately it doesn't really matter, does it, as long as you get the win tonight?
That's it. It's just all about the win. I know, like you say, we've been going down a goal at the start to quite a lot of teams recently, but we've been just pulling it right back in the second half. And like you say, if we do that tonight, then I don't care what the score is, just as long as we win. But Tynecastle will be absolutely rocking. That Rangers game, I've been going to home and away games for a long, long time, and I have never ever seen anything like that Rangers game. It was amazing. I took the two boys along, and it was so electric. It was amazing.
Christine, if Hearts win the title, are the Wains getting a day off school tomorrow?
No, but they're going to stay up till 10 o'clock, and that's really late. So
you're a hard woman.
We're good know. If they were good today, they were getting to stay up till 10 o'clock to watch the game. So, no, they're absolutely buzzing, though. I don't know if I'll be able to get them to bed if we win the league tonight. I've got the flags and the Hearts scarves up on the window. Because we're from Lanark, there's not too many Hearts fans from here. So we want everybody to know that we're Hearts fans and we're proud.
Oh, good stuff. Thank you great to stuff. Christine. 01419511025. Keep those calls coming.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We should be getting team news any second now from around the grounds. They are an 8 o'clock kickoff. Normally that's when we go off air, but not tonight. We are here for the long haul until 11 o'clock. What's going to keep you going, Hugh?
Well, I've
just
never
did pure drama.
Never known drama like it. On the one hand, you could say that if Hearts are pipped for the title now, it would be cruel. On the other hand, you could say Martin O'Neill has twice had to come in and bail Celtic out of trouble. And if he wins the title, under the circumstances he has been forced to work with, then borderline miraculous.
I wonder how Derek McInnes will be feeling going into this final week, because Martin O'Neill has, you know, been in these types of scenarios before where a title has been on the line. But Derek McInnes, this is new territory for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Did they not run him close in 2018-ish?
Aberdeen.
Aberdeen. Yeah. So he's obviously been in for the long haul, but never quite managed to go over the line. I think he's been very dogged in his approach this season. I think, you obviously speaking to Sir Alex as well, I think he's shown a leadership quality that I haven't really seen, you know, really forthright. They've led for months now, pretty much the whole of the season. And I think if they win that tonight, he'll be well placed, because he's gone to Parkhead already and got a positive result earlier on in the season, all being that they've obviously lost a couple of big players last weekend. But this is a group of players that have continuously stood up to scrutiny. When they've lost a game, they've bounced back, they've on good runs. And you know, for me, that's a level of consistency. And when I look at this Hearts team as well, I see a team that are united, and I see a lot of leadership qualities throughout. I think guys like Stuart Finlay, Shanklin, middle of the park, Little Devlin's been great for large portions of the season as well. So they have a spine through the team that they can rely on.
Well, let's go to Fir Park and get that all important team news from Motherwell against Celtic with Alison McConnell.
Yeah, we've just got the teams through. So it looks like three changes then for Motherwell, with Tom Sparrow coming in for the ineligible Stephen Walsh. John Katrumbas comes in too, and Lucas Fadinger. So it is Callum Ward in goal, Tom Sparrow, Stephen O'Donnell, John Katrumbas, Emmanuel Longello, Ibrahim Saeed, Elliot Watt, Lucas Fadinger, Elijah Just, Callum Slattery and Tawanda Maswanhisi. On the bench for Motherwell is Conley Gordon, Nicholson, Priestman, Ross Booth, Thompson, Hendry and Charles Cook. And for Celtic, just the one change, as Luke McCowan drops to the bench. So in goal for Celtic, it's Viljamo Sinisalo, Alistair Johnston, Austin Trusty, Liam Scales, Kieran Tierney, Arne Engels, Callum McGregor, Sebastian Tonetke coming in, Benjamin Nygren, Yang Hyun-Jun and Dyson Maeda. And on the bench for Celtic, Doohan, McCowan, Iheanacho, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Sarachi, Hatate, Murray, Forrest and Ralston. And tonight's referee is John Beaton.
We saw what changed with Celtic when Luke McCowan came off at the weekend, and he was replaced by Sebastian Tonetke. I think a lot of Celtic fans have been torn on Tonetke this season, because he's had moments where he's looked very flashy and he's looked as if he's capable, but then at times he started and he's not really produced. I think, just based on what happened on Sunday, was that an easy switch for Martin O'Neill to make coming into this game?
Yeah, I think it was. I think they probably need to be a little bit more attacking. McCowan was good for the kind of experience. He knows the fixture, he knows what the fixture means. And I know we've said about it the last couple of days, that the first goal he can maybe do better. I felt he could have maybe had a better option from Boys. They've kind of ran away and closed the passing lanes. I think he done fine. I think after that he picked himself up. He got a good ball into the box for Engels, who then passes it to Yang and they score the opening goal. And I think Tonetke coming on just gave a little bit of freshness and a little bit more direct play in terms of the wingers got on it and they attacked Rangers fullbacks a lot more, and I think it really helped the team going forward, and I think that will help tonight.
The one I'm looking at tonight is Benjamin Nygren. He's become a bit of a myth for me. He's got one goal in his last nine games.
I mean, he's still contributed a lot of goals throughout the season, more than any other Celtic player.
But now we're pushed, getting the shove here, and one goal in his last nine games. We've praised Maeda for scoring goals in the latter part of the season, and you have to look at Nygren, who stopped scoring goals in the latter part of the season. And if he's not scoring goals, he contributes nothing to the match.
Let's get the thoughts of John, who's a Celtic fan in Coke Bridge. John, is that the team that you would have gone for?
No, I don't like agreeing with you, you know what I mean? But I agree with Nygren. I've been saying for weeks, I think I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about playing Iheanacho for the start. And I think tonight, although Sunday we were brilliant in that second half, but I still think tonight Iheanacho should play. I mean,
despite the fact that Dyson Maeda has been so effective through the middle in the last few games.
Because obviously Dyson Maeda to me can be effective anywhere, because he's one of the guys, he'll get 150% every game. But Iheanacho is the best goal scorer we've got, and tonight, as I said,
but is he the best goal scorer that Celtic have got if Dyson Maeda scored six in his last four games? Would you not rather have him through the middle?
I think he's the most natural finisher. I think, well, a guy Tony was a striker himself, I think Tony would agree with me. I think he's a most natural finisher.
There's a very simple reason, John, why he can't start matches. He's unfit, he's immobile, and he is a lovely finisher when a chance presents itself in the last 5 or 10 minutes of the game. But I am fitter than Kelechi Iheanacho, and I am 76.
That's maybe the most damning indictment that Hugh Keevans has made of any ever player.
That's because he walks here, doesn't have to pay the bus.
Tony, we'll put that to you as a former Celtic striker. As John said, how do you see that debate between Dyson Maeda or Kelechi Iheanacho through the middle?
I think Iheanacho is a very good option to come off the bench when you're looking for a goal, especially set pieces. He showed against, who did he score the chest against? Chest volley,
Hibs,
when he came off the bench to win the game. I think Celtic need energy for the start. I think they need to press Motherwell and press them into making mistakes, and I think Iheanacho can't do that at the moment. Maybe he can if he gets a full pre-season, but he's not had one of them, so for me he's better as an impact sub. I think you need Maeda pressing from the middle. I prefer Maeda off the left, I do get that, but at this moment in time the best option is for Maeda to start through the middle and Yang and another, which tonight is Dineke, to complement him from the sides.
I think, assuming you're playing against this Motherwell team who are most certainly going to construct for the back, you want the guy who can press the most. And the one thing about this guy, Maeda, he can double press, triple press. and it must be an absolute nightmare, particularly if you're trying to play out for the back, because if you lose it at that particular end of the pitch, you'll get punished, because Celtic can do that. And the problem you have with Iheanacho over the course of the season is that he hasn't managed to string a lot of games together. So they're restricting his minutes, and rightly so, because it gives you the option to bring him off the bench.
Thank you to John. We've got some very interesting team news at Ibrox. We'll quickly get the Hearts team with Gabriel, then we'll bring you that. Gabriel.
Yeah, four changes. The team that drew at Motherwell on Saturday night, Andrew, with Halkett and Leonard, of course, both out for the rest of the year. With Achilles injuries, Altena and Kingsley dropped to the bench. In come Kizaridis and Kent. Cammy Devlin makes a first start in over a month. And it's 2 months today since Harry Milne last kicked a ball with his calf injury. He's in on the left-hand side. So it'll be Alexander Shvolov in goal, Michael Steinvender, Frankie Kent and Stuart Finlay at the back. Alexandros Kizaridis and Harry Milne likely to play wing-backs, with Benny Beningame and Cammy Devlin in the middle of the park, Blair Spittle just in front of them, Claudio Braga and Lawrence Shankland up top. Substitutes: Fulton, Kingsley, McCart, Kabore, Borchevnik, Forrest, Altena, Kojota and Chesnokov. I'll give you the Falkirk team after seven.
Yeah, let's go straight to Ibrox, because I said there is very interesting team news from Ibrox, and Kerry Pollock can bring that to us.
Yeah, sure, absolutely right, Andrew. I think, as we mentioned before, the last game for James Tavernier here at Ibrox will not be this evening, as the skipper is not in the team lineup. He's not in the starting lineup, nor is he on the bench. Being reported by the Scottish Sun just before the teams were released that apparently James Tavernier has had a bit of a disagreement with the manager, Danny Rooley, found out that he wasn't starting this evening. He wouldn't get that standing ovation from the fans nor his family if he was taken off tonight. So James Tavernier will not be appearing for Rangers this evening, but the starting 11, it does look like this: Butland, Sterling, Fernandez, Giga, Romans, Barron, Diamande, Asgard, Moore, Antman and Chermiti. On the bench, Kelly, Maguire, Ahrens, Suter, Magoma, Chikwane, Slavolsen, Gassama and Miofsky.
Yeah, just to go a bit further into those reports in the Scottish Sun, they say it's understood that the disagreement came after Tavernier learned he was not in the starting lineup and he was expecting a send-off in front of his wife and kids. After an exchange with Rule, he spoke to his teammates at their pre-match meeting before leaving Ibrox. What do you make of that, Alex Ray?
Well, I'm shocked, really. If this is the case and it transpires like that, it's a really sad ending for James Tavernier, who expected a fond farewell. However, the manager's looked at this and he's thought, listen, we really need to get back to winning ways. And he's obviously gone with Dujon Stirling it right back tonight to try and get the result. Because if you go four games, five games now, it's not all down to James Tavernier that they're losing games. However, the manager has to make a decision. And I'm surprised that he's reacted in that way, because there could have been a period later on in the game where he gets that recognition and obviously the send-off that he's looking for.
It deepens the rift between Danny Rule and the Rangers support. It's an insensitive thing to do.
Do you think so? Because there are a lot of Rangers supporters out there that maybe aren't, haven't been James Tavernier's biggest fan over the years.
Yeah, but at the same time, they will park all that and give him a dignified, respectful farewell, except there will be no farewell now. And it's a black mark against Danny Rule's name. It's not what James Tavernier deserves. And I think it shows that Danny Rule is not right for the circumstances he's in.
That's not the way I see this at all. I don't see it like that at all, Hugh. I actually see it as quite strong that you actually think bigger than this kind of sentiment. I said this a few weeks ago when people were coming on the show and saying that, oh, James Tavernier's announced. We were on the show on the Wednesday night when he announced he was going to be leaving in the summer. And folk were coming on here and going, oh, that's a shame. Let's do it for James Tavernier. I'm going, there's a bigger picture in this. I see this as a bigger picture, and he's putting a player in there possibly who's going to be longer term at the club. And
but Stirling started 10 games this season.
No, but what I'm saying to you is he's definitely going to be there next year.
Yeah, I'm caught in two stools here. I'm brought on here to give an opinion, and I genuinely don't know what side of the fence I'm on, because when you look at it two ways, Tavernier has been an outstanding servant and he deserves one game when Rangers have got nothing to play for in the league. But then
He could have did it at the end of the game, Tony. Still get the standard.
I get that. So that's when I go into the other side. Danny Rule's got everything to play for tonight, because if Danny Rule loses tonight against Hibs, he will be chased out of Ibrox. Make no mistakes about that, right? But he also needs to stamp authority, because if Tavernier turns around and says, I'm not happy, blah, 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 in front of everybody else, if Danny Rule goes, oh, don't worry, James, you're starting, he loses the players as well. So I think it's a difficult one, because based on how Rangers have been this season, I could see a lot of people making an excuse for that in that changing room and turning against Danny Rowe. Not turning against him, but looking at him a different way.
We are running late for the news, so we'll have to leave that there. But Rangers fans, give us your thoughts on that. 01419511025, continuing to build up to the massive games tonight. And we're going to play this as well.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
01419511025, ring that number to play Beat the Pundit and you could be up next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Less than an hour to go until kickoff in some massive games in the Scottish Premiership tonight. Could Hearts clinch the title tonight, or is it going to go to a final day shootout between Hearts and Celtic? So it's Hearts against Falkirk tonight, Motherwell against Celtic, and Rangers against Hibs. The big interest there was James Tavernier making his final Ibrox bow, but as we heard before the news, James Tavernier not in the starting 11, not in the bench. Reports that there has been a bust up with Danny Rule after he was told he wasn't in the starting lineup tonight. So any thoughts on that, Rangers fans? We'll continue to take calls on the games elsewhere at Tynecastle and Fir Park, and we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The eagle-eyed people on the stream and the eagle-eared people on listening on the radio. That's not a phrase, but I'll just stick with it for now. We'll see that there are three pundits and only two sides of the Beat the Pundit coin. Yep. So I'm going to have to make a decision here. And because Alex Ray was on Monday night and played on Monday
one Andrew.
I'm going to rule you out. There's not going to be a bust up between us, you're not going to walk out because of that, are you?
Just a 5-0.
You said it 16 times yesterday before the game that he won on Beat the Pundit.
It was 5-0, in fairness.
I know, I've seen that.
Right, anyway, you're not...
I'm happy,
me ruling you out, you're not, there's not going to be a bust-up, you're not going to walk out, you're fine, you're all good. Right, okay. It's going to be either Tony Watt or Hugh Keevans, and it's going to be Graham in Clyde Bank, just along the road, that's going to play. Graham, how are you?
I'm not bad, Andrew.
Have you played before?
Aye, it was about 5-6 years ago, and the Dazzler beat me, so...
Oh, no.
Were you that scarred by it that it's taken you so long to phone in again?
Yes, because even your producer said that. He's like, he says, I wouldn't admit it to that. The Dazzler beat me.
Right, who would you rather face then out of Tony and Hugh?
Well, I'd say Tony, so, but rather be Tony, plus he used to play for Celtic as well, so...
Right, okay, it will be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Hugh Keevans. It'll be the red side of the coin for Tony Watt. And it is the red side of the coin for Tony Watt. So you got your wish, Graham. We will put something else in the ear of Tony so he cannot hear us, and I'll give you a refresher of the rules since it's been so long. 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well. You all good? Can Tony... I'm making sure that Tony can't hear us. All good. He made some sort of signal, but he must just be questioning what type of music is playing in his ear at the moment. Right, 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. How does that sound?
Aye, that's brilliant.
Right, let's go. Who was the last non-Old Firm manager to win the Scottish top flight?
Alex Ferguson.
Alex McLeish managed Rangers, Hibs and which other Scottish side?
Motherwell.
Name either Celtic player who scored against Motherwell in their last meeting.
Negrin.
Which Scottish Championship side were relegated on Saturday?
Oh, Championship side. Ross County.
Who made more English Premier League appearances, Connor Salmon or Adam Ida?
Adam Ida.
Okay, we will bring Tony back in. Can you hear us, Tony?
Yeah, that was a strange song.
I was could tell by the look on your face that there was something strange going on in there.
Paul Simon, yes. Celia, you're breaking my heart. Paul Simon was in there.
That's not that strange.
80s.
I've never heard that, and I quite like the 80s.
70s, you've never heard that song?
Never heard that?
No?
No, I quite like Bob Dylan, Cat Stevens, all them.
He filled the hydro on Saturday night in Glasgow. Paul Simon, it must be in his 80s by now.
Paul Simon, who is
Simon Garfunkel.
Simon Garfunkel.
Ah, right, that makes sense.
1970.
Is that what
I told you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Are they Bridge Over Troubled Water?
Yep.
There you go, you've gone.
They're right. Right.
Anyway, if it was a music quiz, Tony would have been all right, but we'll see if it's distracted him from Beat the Pundit. Right, 30 seconds on the clock for Tony, let's go. Who was the last non-Old Firm manager to win the Scottish top flight?
Alex Ferguson.
Alex McLeish managed Rangers, Hibs and which other Scottish club?
Pass.
Name either Celtic player who scored against Motherwell in their last meeting.
Negrin.
Which Scottish Championship side were relegated on Saturday?
Airdrie.
Who made more English Premier League appearances, Connor Salmon or Adam Ida?
Salmon.
What nationality is Kilmarnock's Joe Hugel?
Northern Irish.
Which Scottish Premiership side play at the Calforth Construction Arena?
Scottish Premiership side?
Mm-hmm. Gonna rush it.
Livingston.
Okay, how do you think that went, Graham?
I think he's beaming.
We'll go through them we'll see who was the non-Old Firm manager to win the Scottish top flight. Of course, it was Sir Alec Ferguson. You both got it. A good start from both of you. Alex McLeish managed Rangers, Hibs and which other
Motherwell.
Scottish club? Motherwell is the correct answer. Tony didn't get it. Graham did get it. 2-1 to Graham. Name either Celtic player who scored against Motherwell in their last meeting.
Oh, Calforth has done it.
You've just remembered the answer to another question. The answer to that question, you could have had two answers, Yang or Thomas Tranchara. Neither of you got it, so it remains 2-1 to Graham. Which Scottish Championship side were relegated on Saturday? I think Graham kicked himself after he answered this because he said Ross County. Yes, they were relegated, but not on Saturday. That was Airdrie. Tony said Airdrie, so it is 2-2. Who made more English Premier League appearances, Connor Salmon or Adam Ida? You went each way. Graham went for Adam Ida. Tony went for Connor Salmon. Adam Ida made 29 Premier League appearances with Norwich. Connor Salmon, 32 with Wigan. So it goes 3-2 to Tony Watt. And that was the end of the road for Graham. He didn't get any more questions in. And by the way, just as well, because Tony Watt got two more questions in. What nationality is Kilmarnock's Joe Hugo? You said Northern Irish. He's English. Didn't get that right. And then you were scrambling all over the place just to name any Scottish
Premierships.
I can
only apologise to Graham because I stunk the place out there.
What was it? Is it?
No, don't apologise. I'll never forget that goal you scored against Barcelona.
Was it Calforth? Is that...
Dundee United's
construction
stadium.
Company. Yeah. They were just getting the contract the year I was leaving. How have... In my head, I thought of Dundee United, then I thought of Dundee, then Dundee United, and then I said Levy.
Right. That's enough. Let's get back to James Tavernier.
Well, yeah, despite that internal struggle in Tony's head, he did win 3-2. So unlucky, Graham. It took you 6 years to call back in, yep. And unfortunately, you didn't manage to win this time. So we'll speak to you again in 2032. How does that sound?
I was going to say it'll probably take me another 6 years to phone back in again.
Good stuff. Thank you.
You'll get you in the border then.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that'd be worse.
Well, thank you to Graham. Let's touch on that story that we heard just before the news, shall we? James Tavernier, it was expected to be his final Ibrox bout tonight. Not in the starting lineup, not in the squad. Reports that he's had a bit of a bust up with Danny Rule after finding out he wasn't in the starting lineup tonight. Billy is a Rangers fan. I think you're going to the game tonight, Billy. How are you feeling about it?
I was actually okay and looking forward to the game, expecting to see, obviously, the final say goodbye to the home fans along with his family. Just can't believe, I think it's very, very poor in the part of the club we're leaving him out tonight. And I do understand that he's got to think for the future. With Sterling coming in, although Sterling started, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 games, James Tavernier scored 140 plus goals since he's been there in the career. He's put us through some tough times. He's caused us some bad times as well, to a certain extent, but nobody's perfect. But I think they've just set the tone of the game tonight, Danny Rowe has. And I'm actually quite shocked at that, even if he was on the bench, come on for the last minute, 2 minutes.
Well, I think that the reports seem to suggest, Billy, that he probably would have been on the bench, but after being told he wasn't in the starting lineup, he's decided not to be in the squad. You know, people say that there's no sentimentality in football, but do you just feel that with this fixture, nothing really hanging on it for Rangers, it being his final game at Ibrox, that he should have just been given that start?
I think he should have been given that final chance just to walk out on the pitch with the family and say goodbye. He has been a good servant. I don't ever remember all my years going to Ibrox that Rangers ever treating another player the way they've been treated like that. And I just think we're not having a testimonial and not having that final few moments for everybody to say goodbye. I just think it's quite poor on the club's behalf.
I don't buy this thing.
I do understand.
Yeah, Billy, I don't understand this thing about the future. The season's got a matter of 4 days to go.
Yep.
Rangers are cemented in third place. Nothing alters there. And of course, the future is important, but you've got all summer to take care of the future. I think it's a slap in the face for Tavernier. And I think it's, in terms of the optics, it shows that Danny Rule doesn't really understand his surroundings.
If he was on the bench, presumably he still would have got onto the pitch. Yeah. He would have been given an ovation when he got on the pitch. Yeah. He then could have, you know, walked around afterwards and said goodbye to the supporters. It seems from reports that just wasn't enough for James Tavernier.
Well, it's interesting because obviously you're given your side of that, Andrew. I've just had a text of someone kind of connected to club saying that he would not have been on the bench tonight.
Is that right?
Yes, but again, it's until we get clarity here, we're kind of jumping back and forth. And the argument would have been that he could potentially have got it with his family after the game and got that.
Does that make it worse then? Because Danny Rowe was just not, according to what you've heard, Danny Rowe was just planning on not having him in the squad whatsoever in a game.
I've kind of changed my stance originally because I thought to myself, you could have been on the bench and you might have got a swan song at the end and you've got that recognition from the fan base. But it seems as if that's the case. So until we get some clarification off the manager or James Tavernier for that matter,
it says more about Danny Rule than anybody
else. Yeah, I'm you.
Is that really hard to understand if that was the case?
I'd struggle to 100% trust my manager if he'd done that to one of my teammates who'd give their all to Rangers. He gave Rangers his best years, his prime years. I think you need to treat players like that a little bit different. If I'm the manager, I'm starting them tonight. And even if it's a case of bringing them off at half time and letting them know, look, you're getting 45, just after half time, so he can get his round of applause. For him not to be in the squad, if don't get me wrong, they could have a video analysis meeting about the game. I know the kind of the first Maeda goal, he could have done a little bit better, and maybe they've had a fault. Who knows? That doesn't do anything for me. For me, he should be in that squad. Danny Rowe not choosing him. If you're my manager, Alex, and you do that to a guy that's been there for 10 years, I'd struggle with 100% trust after that, because there's no human side. There's no emotion there. For me, you need to look after your long-term servants.
Thank you to Billy. What about Ian in the city centre? What are you making of it all, Ian?
Hi. Well, I was just saying to your producer there that, first of all, I'm not going to name any names, but I had a guy, I drive a taxi, and I was dropping one of the players' granddads over at Ibrox. He was going for a corporate a couple of hours ago, and he was telling me that things, from what he's been told, that things aren't good with Danny Rowe at Ibrox just now. Some of the players are, for whatever reason, they're not happy with him, and a lot of them are sort of doubting him now. And I think this is maybe, I don't know, he never mentioned how long it's been going on, but he just told me that the players aren't enamoured with him. They don't think a lot of them. He's let a lot of them down, and I think this is what we've seen over the last few weeks or a couple of months with Rangers, that they've really struggled, and maybe, just maybe, that this is what the problem has been, an underlying problem.
Speculation that we can't confirm or deny is best left alone, to be frank. You have to give your own personal opinion.
But then I'm interested in the side of it, you know, whether what Ian says is true or not. I wonder what something like this would do for the general harmony of the squad. Presumably James Tavernier has a lot of friends in that Rangers dressing room, people that he's played with over the years, is very close to. If the scenario is played out in the way that we're hearing, I imagine that quite a lot of the players, or certainly a few of them, will take James Tavernier's side on this debate. Could that create a bit of uncertainty?
Hugh makes a really interesting point. There's what, 4 days to the season ends, and then it's all reset when you come back into pre-season tournament. It's a clean slate and so forth, and I think it's a really strong message for the manager. Yeah. He's clearly said, right, okay, this is it, we're moving away from this old guard. Now, he could have done that in 4 days' time, but he's made the decision.
I don't think it's a strong decision, Alec. I think it's a stupid decision, because there are only 4 days to go. And he comes across as being robotic. And you've raised the question, Andrew, does it affect others in the dressing room? And of course, the game's about camaraderie. You have to have a united dressing room. And I think many of the Rangers players will think that what the manager has done this evening is the wrong thing.
And also the fans, Hugh. I think, and it goes back to the Russell Martin one, see what he done with asking the fallout. Keep it behind closed doors and just smooth it over, because see, when that happens, the fans then pick a side. And see, at the moment, I'm not sure the fans are going to go with Danny Rowe over Tavernier, which says a lot. I just don't. I don't think they're going to be seeing this decision and going, yes, that's my manager. I think a lot of the fans are undecided on Danny Rowe, if not leaning the other way for him not to be here. Just give Tavernier his send-off. Was it 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is, and just get on with it. Don't make cutthroat decisions, because then players in that changing room will be watching in case he cuts your throat, and that for me is a worry.
Well, thank you to Ian. 01419511025. Massive games coming up tonight, just 40 minutes away. We'll get plenty more build up to them next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a night it is going to be in the Scottish Premiership. Could Hearts win the title by beating Falkirk and Celtic losing to Motherwell at Fir Park? Or are the results going to be in a way that it will set up one of the most dramatic final days in Scottish football history? Whatever happens, it is going to be very, very interesting. Rangers against Hibs. There wasn't a lot on the line in that game, but a huge story coming out of Ibrox. It was meant to be James Tavernier's send-off. He's not in the squad at all. Reports of a fallout with Danny Rule because he wasn't meant to be starting in the game. So any thoughts on that? Any thoughts on the games? We've not even touched on last night's action, because it was a big win for Kilmarnock. And despite the fact that St Mirren also won, St Mirren are guaranteed to be in the relegation playoff spot. And we are here all the way through until 11 o'clock, bringing you all the action tonight. So keep those calls coming, 0141 951 1025. We'll go back to the phones in a second. We didn't get the Hibs team from Ibrox, so let's get a recap of that Rangers team, shall we, and the Hibs team from Kerry Pollock.
Yep, just a reminder, Andrew, it will be Jack Butland in goal, wearing that captain's armband this evening as no James Tavernier. So it's Jack Butland in goal, Sterling, Fernandez, Giga, Romans, Barron, Diomande, Asgard, Moore, Antman and Chermite making up the starting 11. On the bench, it's Kelly, Maguire, Aaron, Suter, Magoma, Chikwane, Govol, Gassama and Miovski. On to the Hibs side then, no changes from that team that beat Falkirk last time out. It's Salinger in goals, Iredale, Hanley, O'Hora as a back three, Obita, Barlasser, Chiwa, Paslak and Campbell in the midfield, and Boyle joined by Elding up top. On the Hibs bench, it's Smith, Newell, Chris Cadden, Nicky Cadden, Mulligan, Andrews, Rocky, Scarlett and Suto.
Feel like I could hear the rain behind Kerry there. Oh, yeah. I have a feeling it's probably going to be hammering down with rain at all the games tonight. That's your type of football.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Hugh Keevan's dark, sinister.
Adds to the atmosphere. Bring it on. I don't know what kind of atmosphere they'll have at Ibrox now. The Tavernier news will have spread throughout the crowd. Everyone will know exactly what's going on. We'll see what kind of effect that has on them. Boyle and Owen Elding up front for Hibs. It's up to them to take advantage of any drop in atmosphere, which there will be. They've just been turned over by Celtic. There's no need for people to get overexcited about anything. They're third, and they will remain third whether they win 10-0 or lose 10-0 tonight.
Yeah, quite interested in, as Hugh says, what the Rangers' atmosphere is going to be like tonight. I think there were suggestions that the crowd wasn't going to be massive anyway, just based on what's happened this season, especially over the past few weeks. I wonder if it may take a further turn just based on what's happened today.
Well, I think there would have been a lot of people that didn't want to go to the game, but were going to say goodbye to James Tavernier. I think a lot of people respect what he's done, and I think that's the correct thing. I personally, if that was me as a supporter of a club and a cult hero, a kind of modern day hero, was leaving, I would probably go and show my support. I don't like it. Say that I don't like the kind of surroundings, but look, I don't know what's went on. It's not for me to judge, but I do think there'll be a lot of people not turning up now. I think there'll be people turning around their car and maybe not going. I think that's probably going to add to the atmosphere. A lot of people won't be going because of the result against Celtic and how the splits kind of
played it.
I was trying to think of a word, but it's kind of dwindled. They've lost three in a row, and that's unacceptable for Rangers. That's just not okay. And on the flip side, Celtic have won three in a row and now they're title challengers, and I think that's what's going to hurt Rangers more. I think that's what's going to really, really put the knife in, and I think the atmosphere at Ibrox will be a bit alarming tonight.
Yeah, we'll go back to the phones in a second, but I need to set this up.
The full-time teaser with Arkiplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Thank you to Kieran in Clarkson for this one. And since we're on until 11 o'clock, I don't think there's any rush for you guys to get it finished up before 8 o'clock. We can maybe revisit it after 8 o'clock. And there are a few more answers than normal anyway. Kieran is asking you, can you name the Celtic starting 11 in their 3-0 defeat to Hearts in April 2006, the year Hearts last finished in the top two? So can you name the Celtic starting 11 in their 3-0 defeat to Hearts in April 2006, the year Hearts last finished in the top two?
I'll give you an answer now. No.
Lennon.
Neil Lennon is correct.
Petrov.
Is incorrect.
McGeady.
McGeady. No.
Maloney.
Maloney. Yes, right. You have two.
Are you sure you support Celtic? I was looking at him, Hugh.
Petrov. Petrov.
Perfect Thistle fan.
Petrov came off the bench and Aidan McGeady was an unused substitute. So you've hit the post. Right. You've hit the post on a couple of them. But yeah, you have two of the 11. We will go back to that. Let's go to the phone, shall we? Neil is a Celtic fan in Reading. Neil, how are you feeling tonight? We've had a couple of confident sounding Celtic fans on so far.
Nervous. How you doing, boys? Hope everybody's well, especially Tony Watt, naturally. I think I'm nervous, naturally. You know, I think we have peaked at the right time. I think the team's on fire. I think the result on Saturday has a big say in how we play tonight. I think if we'd lost to Rangers, you know, it would have been uphill. But I think the confidence is flying. I mean, it's Martin O'Neill on it. It's Martin O'Neill. That's all you need to say. He's taken a very average-looking Celtic side that's had three different managers at it this season, and he has turned them into two games away from being winners and three games away from double winners. Yeah, I'm feeling good.
I appreciate the point about Martin O'Neill, but just looking at Callum McGregor, the Celtic captain, who is winding up players on the park at Fir Park. McGregor has had a renaissance under Martin O'Neill. He had an awful
the whole
time
team
of it.
Has
yeah,
the whole
but
team
but yeah, but I'm just isolating the captain under Wilfred Nancy. He had a pained expression on his face every day of Nancy's presence at Celtic Park. But McGregor, under Martin O'Neill, he's got them fired up, and I've rarely seen Callum looking this way out with an Old Firm game.
He was very animated there. I think it's important to highlight that, because obviously people listening to the radio may well not be privy to these pictures, and I thought it was really inspiring as well. You're just looking at a captain trying to galvanise, because again, as was highlighted, I think this is going to be a classic tonight.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's that's the difference for me. And I know you can't just pin it on one player, but that's a guy that's been through the academy, been taught what Celtic means, been taught that you can't lose at Celtic. Rangers don't really have that, especially in their starting 11. They don't have somebody that will really hurt after a bad performance the way Celtic have players.
Was there a point this season, Neil, where this seemed impossible? The fact that Celtic are three wins away from a double?
Yeah, when we hired Wilfred Nancy. I said to your lad on the phone that, I wanted to put the point on Dyson Maeda, especially. He looked bereft of confidence. He didn't want to be there. He looked petulant. And I know the World Cup's coming up at the end of the season, and he's obviously playing for a move. But if he's put himself in the shop window and he's given everything he's got, what a time to do it, you know. And when Martin came, I really wonder if we could be going for a treble now if Martin stayed. Nancy, as you said, everybody looked confused. Nobody knew what they were doing. Seasoned professionals, Callum McGregor, James Forrest, who've done it and seen it and done it all before, Nancy didn't even know who James Forrest was.
That's not necessarily Nancy's fault. It's the fault of those who employed Wilfred Nancy.
Well, it is, but, where's the due diligence? And we were playing well under Martin O'Neill when Nancy came in, and there was no need to change what he did.
No, there was due negligence, never mind due diligence. You know, it's quite straightforward, Neil, as you know. Celtic win two games, they become the champions. Celtic win tonight, I believe they will be the champions by 2:30 on Saturday.
It's quite interesting, something that Alison McConnell is telling me. I have covered countless Celtic games over the years, and you're always there early, and you're sitting with your headphones on reporting into this show, and you can work out what players' pre-match routines are when mm-hmm. they turn up at the ground, because a lot of players do, you know, the same things every single time when they first go out onto the pitch before going back in to go out and train. But I don't think I've ever seen Callum McGregor do this before. Alison McConnell saying that when Celtic arrived, Callum McGregor went out and he walked about the pitch in his tracksuit for about 5 minutes just by himself, just kind of taking everything in, which just shows you how big this occasion is, that, you know, maybe he is breaking tradition from the norm and just trying to for the players.
That's why I drew attention to the television picture showing Callum McGregor in a state the like of which I have not seen pre-match before. So the manager knows the importance, the captain knows the importance, they're trying to get it across to everyone, and the Celtic players and management know if Celtic win tonight, you would make them favourites to win the title at home to Hearts on Saturday.
Thank you to Neil. What about Gary, who's a Celtic fan in Blantyre? Gary, how are you feeling?
Good evening, Andrew. Yeah, give me a second.
Did you get your shower in a minute, Gary?
I just heard someone in the background asking if someone was in the shower. So I'll let Gary come back in a second. Have we got you, Gary?
Yes, I'm here.
There we go. Were you getting a telling off there, Gary?
Yeah, no, I was telling off the camera, didn't I? But so good evening anyway, guys.
Yeah, good evening, mate.
Before I touch on my reason for calling, I just want to kind of mention the whole Tavernier thing at the Rangers, which I think I agree with Tony. I think it's a bit deplorable. And obviously, loyalty like that deserves to be rewarded. However, if you're looking for the send-off that he deserves and for people that have loved him being here, come to Celtic Park on Saturday. You'll give him the send-off that he's looking for.
Uh-huh. But anyway...
okay. So, Hugh, my point's actually to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one who phoned up four months ago, to question you on your whole, the shift in the balance of power in Glasgow, if you remember. So, just in a season, week after the season, Celtic put Rangers out of the League Cup, Celtic put Rangers out of the Scottish Cup, Celtic ended Rangers' faint hopes, any title, the weekend there, and there's a good chance now that Celtic are going to go and win a double. So I'm going to give you the chance just to admit that you got that one very wrong.
Well, you've tried once and you're going to fail a second time because I am talking about, I said that the balance of power had started to shift. I'm not talking about on the park. I'm talking about on and off the park. And, you know,
Celtic, the evidence on the park there, as Gary suggested, because if Celtic are finishing the season in a better position than Rangers, how can you say on the park that the balance would be shifting?
No, but... I'm saying it's starting to shift. You need to look beyond this season and what comes thereafter. You're going to find a very strong Hearts if they win the title and get access to Champions League money on top of Tony Bloom's well-proven business record with other football clubs. Celtic have to find a manager. They have to find a chairman. They have to find a head of recruitment. And they have to get their business right. They have an amazing summer of hard work ahead of them. Gary is desperate for only one thing, for me to break down and confess that I was wrong. There'll be no breakdown. There'll be no confession. We'll have to see in the fullness of time if I am right or Gary is right.
Some people would say it's not a very big shifting of power or isn't one at all. If as you mentioned, Celtic have so much to do in the summer and they have so many vacancies and they have so much to fix... yet they still find themselves ahead of Rangers in the league table and getting further than them in the League Cup than them in the Scottish Cup.
Yeah, all of that is indisputable. But you're confining yourself to this season. I'm talking about what's ahead. What's ahead in the business sense for both clubs, Rangers and Celtic. And you have to be careful before you... desperately try to beat a confession out of me. You have to be careful to see what happens as we go along in a business sense. The Celtic fans have no time for Dermot Desmond. The Celtic fans want change behind the scenes. These things will impact on the club as time goes by. And we have to wait and see if this title does get over the line. If it doesn't get over the line, then of course there's massive disappointment. No reflection on Martin O'Neill because he was handed a very tough task. But don't confine yourself to what happens between now and Saturday. 4 days. Think about 4 months from now. 4 years from now.
Gary?
Sure, you've moved the goalposts here so many times because in my initial call... I'd said that Celtic had dominated for a quarter century, etc, etc. And you said, I'm talking about this season. I'm confining myself to this season. You said that. You're now telling me that you're not talking about now, you're talking about in 4 months' time. So what is it, Shu? Make your mind up and stop contradicting yourself, because everybody that's listening knows that your whole statement about the shift in the balance of power is just a total fallacy. It's nowhere near being correct. So you've moved the goalposts just to suit your now narrative. Because, again, you were confining it to this season, and now you want to confine it to the next 4 months or so. So, that's okay. Just keep moving the goalposts. I think we both know that you're wrong, and I'm right.
Okay.
That'll do for me.
Thank you now.
Well, thank you to Gary. Shall we get some more answers on this teaser? Kieran and Clarkson has sent this one in. Can you name the Celtic starting 11 in their 3-0 defeat to Hearts in April 2006? The significance of that is that it was the year that Hearts last finished in the top two. So far, you have Neil Lennon and Sean Maloney.
Arthur Boric. Bobo.
Arthur Boric, correct.
Big Bobo.
Right, Bobo Baldi. No.
Phil Hallam.
No.
Mark Wilson.
Mark Wilson, also no. We will get more answers and go
one.
Back around
Mo
the
Kamara.
Mo Kamara.
Hinkle.
You shouldn't have bothered.
Hinkle.
And neither should you. Oh, sorry, Mark Wilson is there. Forgive me.
What chance have we got here?
You want to know why? And this has annoyed me, because for me, it is always right-back, centre-back, centre-back, left-back. And whoever has written on here has done it backwards, so it confused me slightly.
How can you get it wrong when you're holding the paper with the answers on it?
I know.
I was too busy focusing on the way the formation is. Anyway, we will go back around the grounds next. Kickoff not far away.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
15 minutes to go until kickoff, and three massive matches in the Scottish Premiership tonight. Hearts against Falkirk, Motherwell against Celtic, Rangers against Hibs. Hearts could potentially win the title tonight if they beat Falkirk and Celtic lose to Motherwell, but any other combination of results means it goes down to a dramatic final day between Celtic and Hearts at Celtic Park on Saturday. So we will go back to Tynecastle and Fir Park very shortly. Why don't we go back to Ibrox beforehand? Let's speak to Kerry Pollock. I'm not sure people were expecting a big crowd there anyway. Kerry, what is the crowd looking like with not long to go, and what's the sort of general atmosphere after that news about James Tavernier?
Yeah, I think you might be right, Andrew. Perhaps fans hadn't heard about James Tavernier not featuring in the game here tonight, as the stands are slowly starting to fill up, but there's still plenty of sparse areas, still plenty of blue seats that I can see. I can't imagine there's as many fans as what Rangers were probably expecting to be here tonight, considering most might have been coming for James Tavernier's final game at Ibrox for Rangers. The Hibs side, though, over in that far corner, that is filling up. But a few fans asked behind me here in the gantry for team sheets to see if James Tavernier was playing. So I'm wondering if maybe that's played a part here tonight. Just over 15 minutes to go before kickoff. Perhaps a few more will filter in, but as of the moment, it's still quite empty here at Ibrox.
Yeah, I've just seen a picture of the Rangers programme for tonight as well, which is, I've not seen that. Is that the sort of captain's notes inside
it? No. It's the manager's basically. And by the way, he's just lauded James Tavernier as a great leader and, you know, epitomises everything connected to the club. So it makes this decision even more stranger.
I was going to say that on the front of the programme is a photo of James Tavernier. It's got his signature on it.
What's going
sort
on
of
here?
Just like a sort of commemorative, yeah, you know, final appearance. It does make it all quite strange, you know, as Alex says, yeah, if he's been sent sort of manager's notes from inside, yeah, the programme, and he's, you know, very complimentary about James Tavernier, uh-huh, and then leaving him out. There will be a lot of questions, and I think Danny Rule will have to field a lot of questions about it post-match.
I said to you, the very first words I said to you, it will deepen the rift between some Rangers supporters and Danny Rule.
Yeah, agreed.
They will not understand his decision, and the fact that he doesn't understand their disappointment at his decision.
He doesn't understand his decision, Hugh, because, yeah, he's saying all that, but then he's omitting him for the squad. So
it doesn't
stink. A leader, see, a leader's definitive, makes decisions, calls it how it is, and does what he does. So see, if you're going to do that, back it. That's it. Simple. Don't then come out and give a big spiel about him, because you're doing one thing and saying another. What's the correct thing? What are you doing?
Interested to hear what Danny Rule has to say about the situation after the game. Pretty quiet at Ibrox, I imagine. It's not the same at Fir Park, building up to a huge match. A lot at stake for both Motherwell and Celtic, Alison McConnell.
Yes, indeed. The atmosphere has been building in here since the teams came out of the tunnel. It looks as though it's a fairly raucous atmosphere that we're getting to just now. Celtic fans that are in are about to unveil a huge tifo here at Fir Park as they look to inspire their side to what would be a massive 3 points. On paper, the odds are stacked in Celtic's favour given their recent momentum. They are the most informed team in the Premiership, but this is not a game that's going to be won on paper. Pressure, nerves and news from elsewhere will all play a part in tonight's drama. Who steps up to take the leading role? The curtain is set to come up here at Fir Park, and those of a nervous disposition may want to look away now. But before we get underway, just about 10 minutes until kick-off, and before we get there, you might want to just get a quick reminder of the team. So for Motherwell, it's Callum Ward, Tom Sparrow, Stephen O'Donnell, Johnny Kitrumbus, Emmanuel Longello, Ibrahim Saeed, Elliot Watt, Lucas Fadinger, Tawanda Maswanhisse, Callum Slattery and Elijah Justin. On the bench for Motherwell, Conley Gordon, Nicholson, Priestman Ross, Booth, Thompson, Hendry and Charles Cook. And for Celtic, it's Vojami Senesielo, Alistair Johnson, Austin Trusty, Liam Scales, Kieran Tierney, Arne Engels, Callum McGregor, Benjamin Nygren, Sebastian Tonetke, Dyson Maeda and Yang Hyun Yun. On the bench, Duhin, McCowan, Iheanacho, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Sirachi, Hatate, Murray, Forrest and Ralston. Just 10 minutes away from kick-off here at Fir Park and what is a momentous night in the title race.
We've talked about how much is at stake for Celtic in this game. It's massive for Motherwell as well, because Motherwell have that final day game against Hibs. It could be a shootout of their own
for Europe,
in that game, going for the fourth place spot. Jens Bertolaskou was saying the other day that, or saying yesterday, I think it was, that it's vital for them to try and get a result tonight to make sure it doesn't go down to the final day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is the last time we'll be able to speak about them before the season's finished, but it's just become the norm that Motherwell's so good. But see, when you actually peel it all back and look at what they've done, this achievement's unbelievable. What he's came in, he's not spent any money, he's got a couple of players on probably all right wages for himself, but mostly it is last season's team. Probably 60-70% of that squad's last season's team. One or two were brought in before him, and then he's added a few players in. For them to perform the way they are, we spoke about Wilfred Nancy earlier and he didn't have a pre-season okay, but Jens came in and he's absolutely transformed the style of play, because it was nothing like that when I was there last year. The way they dominate the ball, the way they create chances, and the big indicator for me is the goal difference. I think they've got plus 23 difference for a team that's fourth. That's unheard of. It's usually the top two, and maybe third place has maybe got just into double figures. That shows you they're an exciting team to watch, but the numbers back it up as well.
Do you know the interesting thing about that? Folk often say, has he improved the players? Yeah. And I mean that with the greatest respect, because there's journeymen in there who have really decent careers, but he's actually took them to a new level. So, and they talk about value, the value of that squad will skyrocket because of the way they play, the brand of football, and they're all, some of them are good age.
What you've said, the value of that squad, the value of the club. People were talking about Motherwell getting bought for 3 million, 4 million. When I was there a few years ago, they'll be £10 million worth of talent, including the manager now. If you're talking about Maswanhisse, Watt, the manager, they've got money. They're going to make a lot of money this summer if they want it. Now, the club's going to be transformed just because this guy's came in and brought an identity.
Yeah, I see that he's been linked with the Toulouse job today. As well as, you know, a lot of Celtic fans have phoned in this show saying that they would like Jens Bertolaskou to be the next Celtic manager.
And it's understandable, Hugh. See, when you actually watch the way they play football and the confidence, and as Tony says, it's an identity. They do not change. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to the game tonight, because you've got Celtic who are absolutely flying and you've got a team who like to play football.
Well, we've got the picture from Fir Park. What about Tynecastle? I'm sure it is rocking there. Gabriel Antoniazzi.
Yes, Andrew, listen to this place. It is anticipation building before the fever pitch kickoff. Lawrence Shankland could have his hands on the Premiership trophy in just over 2 hours' time. Listen to those words. Not one person in this stadium would have believed you if you told them that at the start of this season. A 66-year wait to become Scottish champions could be over tonight. This team stand on the precipice of history, on the edge of one of the greatest achievements in Scottish football. Let's have a look at the side that Derek McInnes has chosen for that mighty task. Shvolov in goal, a defence of Steinwender, Kent and Finlay. Kizaridis, Beningame, Devlin and Milne will be across the middle of the park, with Spittle in front of them, Braga and Shankland up top. Four changes for the visitors. Falkirk, they go Hogarth in goal. Allen, Donaldson, Henderson and Hart as a back four. Spencer, Yates and Tate in the middle. Wilson, Brogio and Miller up top. The Hearts have won all three league meetings between these two this season. But Falkirk, not the Jambos, out of the Scottish Cup at this ground. They're the only team to emerge from here victorious all campaign. I mean, there's so many permutations we've been going through, but it's simple for Hearts. If they just win tonight, at worst, it will still be in their hands come Saturday, and a draw at Parkhead will secure the title. Andrew, there are maroon and white flags and scarves everywhere. Colin Chisholm is a few yards in front of me, primed and ready to belt out the Hearts anthem. We're expecting fire and flames before kickoff as well, and everyone in here will be hoping for fireworks after them as well. The sun has just set behind the Tynecastle stand. The sun has almost set on this season, but it's still all up for grabs between Hearts and Celtic. This is a night no one here will ever forget, one way or another. Kickoff between Hearts and Falkirk is next.
What a night we are in for, and we are not going anywhere. We are here until 11 o'clock. We will bring you all the action as it happens from Tynecastle, from Fir Park and from Ibrox. 0141 951 1025. Kickoff at all three grounds is next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.